Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
Welcome to the best animated shows ever. So far. I'm Troy, and...
And I'm MC.
And this is the podcast where we watch, discuss, and rank every single animated show ever, eventually. And today, we are talking about Season 1, Episode 2 of The Biker Mice from Mars, which is called The Reeking Reign of the Head Cheese, Part 1. Because this is a two-part episode, not one 40-minute long episode, as MC got tricked into thinking it was.
By the resource
he watched it on.
Hey, it's all up on YouTube. It's not getting pulled down.
That's not our fault that it's on YouTube. Somebody else did that.
Yeah.
This show came out in 1993. I don't think I said that last time, but episode two here came out a week after episode one on September 25th, 1993. And I want to tell you about behind-the-scenes stuff again, MC. I'm going to do this every episode now for the rest of the time. I'm going to tell you about behind-the-scenes.
I don't mind.
Let's talk about voice actors. Do you know any of the voice actors in this? Did you recognize anybody?
I recognize some of the voices, but I don't actually know who they are or where I know their voices from. I'm pretty sure there's at least one or two characters that I know from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Very likely. First off, Robert Paulson, Throttle, you definitely know from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Because he's Raphael. The leader of the Biker Mice from Mars is also the voice of Raphael on the Ninja Turtles. Do you know what else Rob Paulson does? What are the voices? I know you know voice actors better than I do, but I don't think either of us know most voice actors.
Well, I know more modern voice actors, and that's mainly because of other stuff that they do, not so much like the voice acting stuff. Like, there's voice actors who are now popular because of things like, well, Critical Role, Tara Strong, and a few other people were like huge on Vine and stuff.
Yeah.
And
okay.
they were doing like all their voices and stuff, and you see this grown ass woman sounding like a Bart Simpson. It's weird.
When we were at Rose City Comic Con last year, we saw a show that I can't think of the name of right now. So hey, Editor Troy, insert the name here of the show that you went and saw at Comic Con last year.
It's called Twisted Tunes, and Tunes ends in a Z, and also has two O's, so it's Twisted T-O-O-N-Z.
Yes, that's the one. Thanks, Editor Troy. and it's a show where a bunch of voice actors go on stage and do script reads of movies.
Oh. But
every scene they change characters that they're doing to portray the movie.
Yeah. I've heard about this show.
I'm pretty sure they were doing Breakfast Club was the movie they were doing at the one we saw. And I think this guy was there, maybe. I'm not positive, but
who else does he play?
He also plays Yakko Warner and Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, Throttle is also Pinky, and he was doing these things concurrently. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, when you think about how many shows, like, voice actors actually have to do.
Right.
To, like, make a living, and they're doing, like, 12-hour days and stuff. Like,
yeah,
that stuff's insane. Oh, and this, like, the little war stories of them doing, like action games, like first person shooters and stuff,
where they just
go, oh my god,
ugh.
Yeah, they make a whole bunch of sounds and stuff, but a part of it is also them just yelling for like several hours straight,
yeah,
doing different reading of lines and stuff. It's like, that's gonna be hell on your throat. But yeah, like, he has one of those voices, like, you know the voice, you're unsure where you've heard it before. But yeah. Raphael and Pinky, that makes like a hell of a lot of sense. Like now that you bring it up, I can like hear his like inflections in Raph.
Yeah, absolutely. Pinky, not so much. That was the one that I was like, what? Pinky is the same guy who does Raphael? How does that make any sense? But yeah, Raphael and Throttle, like, yeah, they've kind of got similar style.
Well, when Pinky does like that,
Nerf.
Yeah, that like you can hear like the deeper tones that come out.
I guess that's true. The next one I've got is Moto. Moto, I don't know the voice actor as much. It looks like he didn't do as much voice acting. His name is Dorian Harewood. Let's see. Oh man, I do know him. So I just didn't scroll down enough in his Wikipedia page. So let's see. He played the Martian Manhunter on The Batman, not the regular Batman.
Oh,
The Batman. That one that came out a couple years ago. Yeah. He's done a ton of just like minor work, it looks like. I'm just checking for names that I recognize. He was an alternate voice for Shredder in 4 episodes. And then just a bunch of background stuff. So let me give you some of the shows that he worked on just as kind of a background voice actor. He worked on Aladdin, Astro Boy. He worked on Darkwing Duck. He worked on Godzilla. He worked on The Land Before Time, Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm. He was Michael Jordan in Pro Stars. We've got to do Pro Stars eventually. He was in The Tick and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Okay, so that just brought up, like you brought up one show that you're like, oh, we got to do that show. That just brought up 3 for me. The old animated Godzilla, The Tick, mm-hmm. and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Like,
yes, all of the yes. I'm yes.
Yeah. Do you remember the old Godzilla show?
That's the one I remember the least. I just pulled up the Wikipedia page for it. Godzilla the series. Okay, this is the 1998 series.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like animated. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, it's a cool art style.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. MC, there's so many good cartoons out there, and we're going to watch them all. But today, I'm not ready to move on, because next I have to tell you about the voice actor for Vinny. Speaking of shows we need to watch, the voice actor for Vinny also plays Wild Wing Flashblade on the Mighty Ducks, which is the Mighty Ducks is one of the cartoons that I like remember the most fondly of all of this like era of cartoons. I'm so excited to be on the Mighty Ducks.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. And then the last one I've got here is W. Morgan Shepherd, who plays Lindberger. The big thing I noted for him is that he was on Star Trek 4 times. He's one of those actors who's just like in the Star Trek Rolodex. The biggest one for him was he played Ira Graves, who was a scientist who like took over Data's body at one point because he was dying. And so he like transferred his consciousness into Data.
I like kind of remember that episode.
I think it was like season 2.
I don't remember a lot of, anything from season 1 except for the first episode. I can't remember.
You don't remember the really, really racist episode?
Oh, no. I tend to block that stuff out, and I haven't gone back in like years. Like, I don't, when I go back and watch Star Trek over, I watch the first episode. And then I'm like, okay, now that's out of the way. I'll jump to season 3.
Let's skip to Riker's beard where it gets good.
Yeah, yeah. That's
a good plan.
Because I'm always like, the first episode, it always reminds me, oh yeah, first season's kind of shitty. Oh, yeah, second season's kind of shitty as well. So I just skip them.
That's fair, that's fair. Speaking of shows we're going to have to do at some point, you realize I'm going to make you watch the Star Trek animated series, right?
Oh, I've done it before.
Like, oh, okay, good. Fantastic.
I'm pretty sure we watched it at some point together.
That's quite possible.
because there was times where we would just put it on and start cleaning.
It's not a great show. Stuff on.
No.
It's not a great show, but it's not awful. It does have an episode where they meet and then have to form an alliance with literal Satan. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
A little bit weird. All right. So let's talk about The Reeking Reign of the Head Cheese, part one. It starts off with the biker mice and Charlie, like, just out on a ride. Maybe they were going on a picnic. I don't know. Throttle had a cooler full of hot dogs and soda pops on the back of his bike. And then there's a fight, and it really doesn't matter. Meanwhile, Lindberger is plotting to take over all of Chicago because the head chairman of the Plutarchians is coming to visit, and Lindberger's like, yep, man, I gotta have something good to show him. And so their plan unfolds with them kidnapping the mayor, immediately makes Lindberger in charge of the city. He's temporary mayor for reasons. Discuss.
I think they mention it, like, he's like, because he's like a trusted member of the community or something in some, or
I mean, what community would just put a really rich, clearly evil guy in charge? Oh,
I
just made myself really sad.
I mean, I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah. I'm not sure if you've noticed yet, but there's a comparison with Lindberger and someone else in, he just changed his hair to orange. Just think about that.
Yeah, a little bit. It kind of works, doesn't it? I've made myself sad. I'm going to apologize now to any listeners if you hear slurping in the background of this episode. MC and I got coffee in between episodes, so we're both sitting here with cups of coffee. Like, every time the other person's talking, it's like, ooh, sneak a sip.
yeah, pretty much.
So let's see. At the start of this, Grease Pit's got a big walking digger tool. And one of the biker mice says, postpone that lunch, bros. We're about to get munched. Because they like to run. Postpone that lunch. We're about to get munched. You get it?
It's like got four like crab leg things, and the digger has like three buckets to dig with.
Mm-hmm.
It's this very monstrosity thing that Grease Pit and Lindberger are in.
Yeah, and they just, I mean, this totally feels to me like they were like, oh, snap, they want this to be a two-part episode. We need more padding. Let's just put in a random fight with an excavation tool, because it's completely irrelevant to the plot, right?
I like how it shows up, but they're driving along this street, and then all of a sudden there's a chasm in front of them and they have to jump over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just cuts straight through a field and through the road that they're driving on as well. It's like this massive chasm. Well, there's another joke that happens here where I think it's Vinny, is like, I thought the Grand Canyon was in another state.
Yeah, which it's like, okay, fine.
It wasn't that big.
My favorite joke in this is Moto gets buried up to his neck, and and Throttle goes, he says, fire me a line, and Moto goes, why did the chicken cross the road? And Throttle goes, no, a tow line. It's so dumb. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Moto getting buried is like the only time anything dramatic happens in this fight.
Yeah, it's like, other than
pretty
that,
much they wrap it up very simply. And with the tow line that Moto shoots to Throttle, he gets pulled out of the dirt fairly easy. And then they wrap up the crab legs.
Do you remember
this digger?
Do you remember in that old movie, Captain America Civil War, when Spider-Man references that old movie, Empire Strikes Back? It's like that. It's just like that.
Yeah.
Then neither of those are old movies. Anyway, Lindberger says he needs to deliver something really big in the way of dirt. And I think this was the first time that I realized that, like, the Plutarchians aren't after, like, oil or anything like that. They're literally they want dirt. That's so their, that's their scheme.
They,
is
they reference it in the first episode where they're talking about how these people came to Mars and they strip mined the planet of its like dirt, essentially. And see, they talk about it, but
I assume they're after like rocks or something.
But yeah, it's dirt. Literally just dirt because they've done something to their own planet.
Question: why do fish people want dirt? They're fish people.
I mean, they're also air breathing, so.
That's true. If it was the cat people, you said that in the new series, the 2006 series, it's cat people, then it makes sense that they want the dirt because they want it for their big old kitty litter boxes.
No, in that one, they want something
if you say water, so help me.
Oh, it is.
Cats don't like water.
Sort of. They want a gun thing that's called like a regenerator or something. It's used on Mars to to get more water or something. But you see it being used on Earth by some rich dude who's just like transforming the land. He's like terraforming or something with it. It's weird.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to watch at some point. We'll have to do Biker Mice 2000 or Biker Mice from Mars 2006. Without finishing the series, we'll just skip to that one.
So essentially, you know what that is? It's just a continuation of this show. Years later.
For our purposes, I'm going to call it two different shows.
Because,
only because I don't want to have to watch all like 78 episodes of Biker Mice from Mars in order to get to the new series.
Seriously, in like the first time that they land on Earth in the new series, she's like, oh, you're back.
That's cool. That's really cool that they did a continuation rather than
something
like that. I prefer that. So the next part of the scheme here is because Limburger needs to take over all of Chicago, he needs to become mayor to do so. So he sends Grease Pit and some goons in.
And they kidnap the mayor.
In Biker Mice from Mars Halloween costumes. And they kidnap
the mayor. They just do it. They walk in and they kidnap the mayor. They've just got helmets on. And it's clearly like some goons, but.
Yeah. They're bad costumes. There's no like. We see one security guard tied up, I think. I'm like, man, it was real easy to kidnap this mayor.
They just walk in, pretty much.
Yeah.
Although, it is Grease Pit, and he is, as we've mentioned in the last episode, really strong, so...
That's true. That's true. And very greasy. He's a greasy boy. And they... There's something... I have a note here about saying something about a cop, and then not a real cop, referring to Grease Pit, because he's like... disguised as a cop, I guess.
No, that comes later.
Did I skip forward?
Yeah.
That's where it is in my notes.
Because that's after Limburger gets elected mayor.
Oh, yeah. My notes for that just say Limburger is the temporary mayor.
Yeah.
I have no notation on, like, why, but I think it is. They say something about how he's, like, an upstanding member of the community or something.
Yeah. Something like that along those lines. And then it cuts to him giving a press conference about the people who kidnapped the mayor. And he's like, these bikers. And it's a picture of the people who are standing behind him. But the people standing behind him are dressed up like police officers. Right. And the people up on the screen or in this massive picture or whatever it's supposed to be are clearly dressed like biker mice. So,
yeah.
Of course, they're different people. Grease Pit's just wearing like a cop hat and some aviator sunglasses now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a cop.
He's
the new chief of police appointed by Limburger.
Yeah, that's something I have a note about later. Is that a thing mayors do? I don't know. But like if you become mayor, instituted chief of police, I'm pretty sure that's an elected position. I think. Maybe commissioner is elected.
Commissioner is elected and sheriffs are elected, I'm pretty sure, as well.
But is the chief appointed? And wouldn't it be appointed by the commissioner? And I don't know.
Would be. Chief of police is actually a rank, I think. And a commissioner normally is a chief of police who's elected to that position.
Are you mostly pulling your knowledge of this from Batman?
No.
Because I am. That's where I'm going. I'm like, well, Gordon was a, he was a police officer first, and he had to get promoted to that rank.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you're like... so there's sergeants and patrolmen. They're the uniformed ones. You don't need to be a sergeant to get a detective badge, I don't think. I think you you can go do courses and stuff to become a detective. But once you need to be raised from like detective to captain, and then from captain to chief, and then I think there's inspectors as well in there somewhere. But yeah, it's really weird, like how they go about this. He's like, that's the chief of police now. He just appoints him. No former like training or anything, which I believe you would need. And he's clearly a criminal.
Yeah, I mean, he's not. It's not a good disguise. Grease Pit looks like Grease Pit, no matter what sort of outfit you put him in.
Yeah.
So let's see. The biker mice find out about this, and they're like, "Oh, this can't be good." So they go show up at Limburger's place because they just know where he is, and yet they're killing time. Like,
oh,
basketball inside of the scoreboard at Wrigley Field instead of going and taking down Limburger.
Limburger has a giant bloody towel with L on the front of it. Of course they know where he's at.
Was Limburger Trump even before Trump was the president? He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got Limburger Tower. Holy shit. Man, can we get Rick Unger on and interview him about what he was politically with the Biker Mice from Mars? So there's an electromagnet guy. His name is Electromag.
Yep. And he's a hired goon.
I have no memory, so you need to take this part, because I wrote down Biker Mice from Mars meet Electromag, and I don't remember this guy at all. Somehow I've just blanked it from my memory.
So essentially he has magnetic powers, and for some strange reason he's levitating the Biker Mice from Mars. I don't know if he's using metal that's on them or what. And
I mean, that makes sense. Like, Moto's got the metal arm.
Yeah.
You know, they're wearing like cool leather jackets and stuff, so there's going to be zippers.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but he's levitating them in the air, and there a fight ensues.
Question.
Yeah.
Could Magneto lift you up by a zipper? Do you think that your pants would hold if he tried to lift you up by the zipper on your pants?
I mean, the pants are still around you, but would they hold? Like, would the zipper rip from the pants?
That's what I'm wondering.
From your weight.
Can we get Adam, what's his name, on the line and have him go do some science experiments and tell us? I can't remember what that guy's name is. It's Adam something, right?
Savage?
Yeah, that's the one. Get him on the line and tell him to pick himself up by a zipper and see what happens. I've always wondered that about electromagnetic enemies. Like, how OP is that power? Because it seems pretty OP.
I mean, you can't get shot.
Mm.
Unless, I guess, bullets can be made out of non-magnetic metals.
That's true. Is your nose ring magnetic?
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, good. Because if it was, that would suck. That would be.
Oh, getting that yanked on? Yeah.
Magneto could grab that from the distance? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's screws in there. Magneto could just take my glasses, and then I'd be like, well, great. Now I got nothing. He's somewhere over that way. He's that where.
I mean, if he took my glasses, it's just me going from high definition to standard definition. I could still tell where he was.
Yeah, that's about 480p if I take my glasses off.
mine's more like 720, but.
Oh, la-di-da.
My eyesight's slightly better than yours. Woo!
You're slightly less dependent on artificial enhancements to your vision.
Yep.
Hey, so there's a cool part in this where the gang escapes from the magnetic dude.
Yeah, then, they fling themselves around, like each other around, while they're being floated in the air by this magnetic dude, and they distract him long enough to get back on their bikes and escape.
And when they get on their bikes to escape, they jump out the window, onto their bikes, and then grab onto a lamppost and spin their way down the lamppost like that dude in Singing in the Rain while riding motorcycles.
Yeah.
These guys have really good arm sockets is what I'm saying, because their arms should have been ripped off by that action.
Moto already has.
Well, I guess his arm did get ripped off once, didn't it?
Yeah.
Was that like ableist of me to comment on it?
I didn't mean. But yeah, he's got a sweet robot arm, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
Even that, no. You're not letting him off this easy, because even that has to be somehow attached to him. Skin and muscle and skeletal structure still had to get pulled by holding onto a lamppost over here and a motorcycle over there and spinning around in a circle. Can you imagine the centrifugal force involved with that? Nah, I don't buy it. I think that this is all bull. I think they made all this up.
But yeah, they escape fairly easy, and then Limburg is like, get after them.
Mm-hmm.
And
so we get a chase scene.
Yeah,
I don't have anything on the chase scene. I mean,
no, because it's pretty much the same chase scene, except now they're getting chased by the magnet dude instead of the exterminator.
Yeah,
it's the exact same thing. They ride through a crumbling city. They make a whole bunch of buggies blow up, and then they beat the hired bad dude.
Yeah, that's the chase scenes are pretty formulaic in this, but I mean, they're fine. They do what they need to.
I mean, they're designed to like lure little boys and girls into the show with action. That's pretty much their whole.
It's good action, and it makes me want to buy the toy. Like, I'm watching this now and going, man, I kind of like a toy Vinny that had the motorcycle. Like, I would totally have it. Which, if you could have an action figure with motorcycle of any of the bike mice, which would you go for?
Vinny? He's the best.
Dude,
he's the best.
Yeah. meanwhile, back at Limburger's place, after he sends his goons off, Charlie Girl comes in. She's in disguise in a short skirt that I'm confused about why her disguise had to have a short skirt.
Even more April O'Neil.
True, like, but the whole time she's tugging her skirt down, like she's clearly not happy about the length of skirt that she's used to go into.
I think it's the actual skirt, because all the other times
somebody out.
I
don't remember
point,
how she got in there.
Oh, that's right. The assistant's not there or something, and she's pretending to be his assistant.
Yeah, because she says that the other girl quit because of the smell.
Yeah.
Which is a good line, because they stink.
But essentially, this scene really brings out the April O'Neil in Charlie Girl, that with the skirt and the glasses. It's like, oh, there's the... they're trying to make it... Yeah, it's more April O'Neil stuff that she's doing.
Yep.
Oh, and she has jewelry on now as well. You can tell she's uncomfortable with the tugging of the skirt, but I got that more as she wears pants all the time.
So the length of the skirt, it was just like, why aren't I in like my like a coveralls working on a bike?
Yeah.
Okay. I can buy that.
But also, I'm guessing it's kind of the sexualization of women in stuff. It's like pointing out how stupid that is.
Actually, yeah, now that I think about what I've learned about Rick Unger, maybe that was like an intentional thing where it's like, man, like in order to even pretend to be a secretary or an assistant or whatever, she has to wear this skirt that's way too short. Like that could be something he was going for. And oh God, now I'm thinking about Trump again and how awful he is. And that of course, skirts. Oh no.
But yeah, she infiltrates the bad guys headquarters and starts gathering information.
Yeah, and he tells her that the local diamond mart, because
that's
going
to be demolished immediately.
Yeah, it's going to be demolished immediately. And when he says immediately, MC, he means immediately, because her response is, but that's a populated building. There are people there. And he's literally, this is cutting into the next section, but I think that's a this, act three of this episode.
Yeah. Is
they stop the bad guy. They stop the Diamond Mart demolition. The Diamond Mart demolition, there's literally people running out of one side of the building while trucks are knocking down the other side of the building.
Yep. That's a couple of scenes away, but yeah.
I've never been a mayor, but I'm pretty sure you don't get to order people to their death as a mayor.
Oh, here's the thing. Like, essentially what they've betrayed is the mayor owns the city.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first episode, they're like, oh, we're trying to legally get land so we can dig it up and send it home.
Right.
Oh, well, that you get that connotation from... There's something that we skipped earlier in this episode where he talks to the high chairman or whatever.
He doesn't talk to the high chairman until next episode.
No.
Yeah, he talks about him. Are you thinking of the, like, butt shake thing?
Yeah.
Yep,
is that the next episode?
Let me just double check. Yes, it is. I have it written down word for word.
Oh, okay. Because I thought that was happened in the mayor's office during, like, oh no, wait, they're still in the tower at this point, aren't they? They don't go to the mayor's office until next episode.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, but they're in the tower. She infiltrates, she gets some information back to the mice, I think.
Yeah, she... No, so the mice deal with Electromagnet by taking him to a building full of metal, and it disrupts his power.
It attracts everything to him, and they cover him in, like...
Oh, gosh. Do you know how they cut...
Bolts, and then a chain link fence wraps around him, and then Vinny comes up with a torch, melts the metal around the dude.
Excuse me, it's not a torch. It's a laser flare. That's right.
Okay.
Vinny's here with a laser flare.
Yeah. I forgot about that. It is a laser flare. And he melts the stuff, and then it's just stuck to the dude.
Which is awful.
That guy, you don't see anything but like a foot.
That dude's super dead. He's super dead. Like, he's covered in metal.
Super dead.
He's covered in metal. And then they heat that metal up to a melting point. On him.
Yeah, if he's not dead, he's in a lot of pain.
And, yeah, he's super dead. These biker mice from Mars, they're a menace to our city, and we need to stop them all. I'm going to build myself a giant robot suit. It's going to be colored green and purple, because those are always the colors that heroes wear, and I'm going to fight against this alien menace that's threatening Metropolis as the mayor of Metropolis. I think I got my mythoses confused.
Limburger wears purple. Like, pretty much exclusive.
I know. That was a joke.
Purple and green? Yeah.
Bad guys always wear purple and green. Yeah. Dr. Octopus, Green Goblin, Lex Luthor.
I don't get it.
The Riddler.
Why is this a thing? I like purple.
You know what the problem is, as I was saying it, is I realized my favorite Ninja Turtle is purple and green. But that's always the colors that bad guys wear, is purple and green.
I'm not joking. If my like my jumpers that I wear, I have three different colors that I wear. It's a light gray jumper, a maroon jumper, and a dark green jumper. A lot of my shirts have purple in them because I like purple. Well, like my flannel and stuff has a lot of purple in it. I'm like, oh, I'm a bad guy. if that's bad guy, I'm the baddie.
Our helmets, they've got skulls on them.
Oh my god, Peep Show.
Let's see. No, that's Mitchell. No, wait, that is Peep Show.
Yeah. No, wait, or is it? No, it's David
that's
and
Mitchell. Mitchell Webber, isn't it?
Yeah. Mitchell and Mobile, whatever, yeah.
But
it is David Mitchell that does that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm out of steam on this episode. Man, this episode of Biker Mice from Mars was the toughest one for me to get to. And then when I realized it was a two-parter, I was like, it kind of makes sense because it felt like it was padded. It felt like they stretched out a lot.
This episode was... It was like, oh, bad guys are doing this. Good guys should... It pretty much, Charlie's like, oh, we should get information. And the biker mice are all like, no, let's go just beat them up.
Yeah.
And then the biker mice go and beat everyone up and cause a lot of trouble and get chased away. And they have to go into hiding, pretty much.
Yeah, they the one thing that happens at the end of this that's good is they figure out that Limburger stole a bunch of diamonds. And they're like, but that doesn't make any sense. He's rich. Why would he need to steal diamonds? And we don't find out. And then Charlie shows up and lets him know.
The mayor is being... that's right. There's like the big fight scene. They defeat the magnet dude. They cut back to the tower. Charlie finds out that the mayor's in the scissor factory.
Like you do.
Yeah. Because Lindbergh is talking to Grease Pit. And then the door opens. Grease Pit opens up the door to exit and Charlie falls down. And I'm pretty sure she gets away by knocking someone out here.
Okay. And that's when she goes and talks to him and tells him about the scissor factory? Because I know they end up at the scissor factory.
Yeah, they end up at the scissor factory, which leads to them being captured.
Yeah, by Grease Pit. Yeah.
And a bunch of goons, because they actually capture Charlie again.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of ran out of steam on this one and I like lost track of what was happening, but I was like, wait, Charlie just got away, didn't she? And then they go to the scissor factory and Charlie is captured again. So I don't know if I missed something there or if it was just weird.
It's confusing and weird, but I'm guessing it was a device made so the biker mice knew where to go so they could save Charlie.
Right. It just seems like in the rewrite corner here, I would have them find a note maybe from her that said the scissor factory or something and not have her escape, tell them where to go, and then get captured and be at the place that she just told them they need to go.
Yeah. Because
that was really confusing to me. I do have in my notes here, just looked it up. The leader is Throttle. Could define the name. So this is where I got it. It wasn't in episode 3, but the very end of episode 2.
But yeah, it's this episode is very like formulaic and like kind of confusing because they're like, here's the formula. And then it's like, oh, we're going to change the formula so we can fit this story in properly where we get Charlie back to the being kidnapped. But
yeah,
with the mice having all the information that they need.
I'm just not sure that the Biker Mice from Mars format needs 2-part episodes. I think that's where I'm
ending up. Oh, no. Yeah, it definitely didn't. And, like, they pretty much defeat the bad guy. Like, this episode's bad guy is, like, the Magnet dude. They defeat him in, like, the first half. So the second half's all about, like, the diamonds and what's going on there and the scissor factory. And it's just, like, really confusing, and it's like back and forth between like them and the tower.
Yeah, it feels like there's too many locations as part of the issue, which I realized you were saying that, because we've got in the opening they're out in the woods somewhere, and then we've got the mayor's office, the tower, the steel factory where they beat Electromag, the diamond exchange, the scissor factory. Like, that's a lot of locations for one, you know, 20-minute cartoon. This episode didn't feel cohesive to me. I think the first episode was stronger than this one.
This, like, had a lot of action and stuff, but it was, like, it wasn't, like, great. It wasn't, like, all packed together. It was, like, bit of action, story, more action, story, bit more action, story.
Yeah.
Last bit of action where the mice get caught. It's like, okay.
Well, now that I think about it, it's also the story stuff is all Charlie. And so, like, every time it comes from Charlie to the mice, I was like, okay, we're going to blow some stuff up for a while now, but nothing. back to Charlie. We're actually going to learn something. Oh, nope. Wait, we're going to go blow some stuff up again for a while. So I think that's part of the issue is that, like, there was a clear divide between the things that mattered to the, like, the big epic story of this two-parter and the things that were just, like, you know, bright lights and explosions.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's a kid's show. We've got to excuse that to some amount, but it didn't, I didn't like the way
didn't
that it
didn't feel cohesive.
But, yeah. Yeah. And then it ends on a to be continued. A dun 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 dun. Because
for me, it didn't. It just like cut to the Black and Mice from Mars logo that they normally have on the ads.
Okay.
And then it went into the next episode.
Well, we're going to continue. We're going to end on a cliffhanger because. Dun, 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 dun.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.